Hi, and welcome to Prosody, 90.5 FM's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. I'm Renee Alberts, guest host of Prosody, and my guest is the poet Julie Carr. Julie Carr is the author of Mead and Epithalamion, winner of the Contemporary Poetry Series Prize, Equivocal, 100 Notes on Violence, winner of the Sawtooth Award, and Sarah of Fragments and Lines. She is also author of a critical study of Victorian poetry forthcoming from Dalkey Archive in 2012. She is co-publisher of Counterpath Press, teaches at the University of Colorado at Boulder, and lives in Denver. Hi, Julie. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Renee. Hi.
So you're going to start us off with some poems from your book, 100 Notes on Violence.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to start from the beginning. One. It won't snow again. It won't. You can take off your shirt. You can lie on the earth. I'm attracted to children, feet like little suns. My brother drew a muscle, then he drew a gun. My envy turned me wild, and my wild made me run. In my notebook, there are mint leaves bent around my head, airs hung with glitter, an early erstwhile ear when babies in their pretty rage wake crying. Days of rain, I've loved your English, so solo, so done, vaulty, wet sky, an infant mouth on mine. Mint leaves in my hair here, something rotting in my eyes, in my notebook. No one's losing it. All the women with their paper scraps, their files, glosses, glasses, lashes, shawls. I make them custards. Make them queens. Two. Salt on the land's low parts. You see it when the plains carry you into that nothing that loves you. Salt's pretty in the light now, prettier than trees. The beautiful boys and girls with their velcroed shoes. And a man takes his key from his pants, scratches his initial into plexiglass, an A like a house been condemned. He's 24 and done for. You know him from the news. He's got hay in his heart and did to them what I cannot write. Not in this, my 8. I pushed my face into the air beside the river. I broke that air with my face. My face was hard, like an erection, and from my face an emission of sound. It shattered that bit of cold air that was hanging there above the water like an irresponsible bird, not caring for its own unity. It let me break it, let me even more ruin it. My face was not proud of this, not proud, nothing, just did it and kept walking. That broken cold air fell behind me, soundless because dead. 17. Never been to Texas, never been to Spain, never been to Holland, never been to Maine. All you babies with your orbs like planets hung in space, with your mouths around your feet, you crawl into my face. 23. The idea to write a book about violence. What kind? The close-up kind. Because I cannot write the words school shootings into the little search box. Later, I hear that whatever you write into the little search box will somewhere be recorded as data in order to better sell you. What does the person searching school shootings want to buy? I keyed guns instead, but I don't want to buy a gun. I could buy a gun. 26. Cold and grand, rare and red, I said, no one steals children. There's nothing to be afraid of. The remnants of winter are ugly, torn plastic 2 months under snow, flutters now in March wind. My girl climbs a tree. A man in a car watches her. I look up and he looks away. A friend goes to jail for a night. There she meets another woman who threw a box of spaghetti at her husband. The box broke and a piece of spaghetti went into their daughter's eye. Now she is jailed for child abuse. Another one, 5 months pregnant, says the prison does not recognize her pregnancy. Oh, my baby just moved, she says. There is no place outside the world. Two narrative poems, number 42. Stephen cut a grid into his shoulder. This he did not explain by telling me that his uncle once grabbed him by the hair and shoved his face into a full toilet. This same uncle was later found dead on the bottom of a motorboat floating in a pond with girly magazines and a gun. Stephen and I swinging in a playground at night, feet swooping up toward the branches, gray against the black of the sky. I found the grid sexy, but of course I did. Also, the uncle raped him. This I forgot to say. Various ways of writing that. But also the uncle. The uncle and the uncle, he raped him. The uncle said he raped him. Swung on the swings, said stoned. My uncle, we had have the same birthday. He put headphones on my ears, pressed play. Madame Butterfly, Shostakovich. I had not heard such music. A boy sat in my office, speaking of poems, his interest in graduate school. We were having the pleasantest conversation imaginable. My office is nothing special, but outside there are blooming trees and lilacs. Then I notice his hands, burn marks, perfectly round, fresh and red, 7 or 8 per hand. Perhaps he sees me notice, places his hands in his lap. We continue to talk, over the burns, above the burns.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Renee Alberts, and my guest is the poet Julie Carr, reading from her work, 100 Notes on Violence. So you mention in the poems this hesitance to type in school shootings, and I'm curious, what moved you to write this exploration of violence?
Well, I had been thinking about this for a long time. I had written a poem in my book, Equivocal, about being a child during the Vietnam War and my mother crying in the car while she was driving us around, and how that terrified me. But as I grew older, I understood her crying as a response to war, especially a mother's response to war. And once I had written that poem, I knew in a sense that I had to revisit the subject matter of being a mother in relationship to violence. And then we moved to Colorado. And what happened when we moved to Colorado was that we moved from having lived in coastal big urban centers, New York, Oakland, where violence was very much something that seemed to happen on the street, right? It was like this thing, and you could avoid it if you just didn't go to, you know, quote, that neighborhood. But once we moved to Colorado with Columbine kind of always in the shadow of Denver, and other narratives of domestic violence, violence seemed to be something that was happening inside. It was seemed to be something that was happening in homes and in schools. And so it had a different quality and a different sense of fear. Also, Colorado is gun culture. And so I became aware of these guns in the houses that my kids were going to. So in a sense, I felt like I had to respond to all of that. And also reading Zhukovsky's A was a huge inspiration. in, I was reading that with a group of friends, and I think I essentially just got ambitious to write something kind of big. The file that this book was originally filed under is just called Big Book. So that was sort of the writerly desire to approach a large topic, a topic that demanded a kind of social engagement beyond the family and also demanded a kind of research. But the more sort of emotional or personal motivation, I think, had to do with those other things that I talked about. Yeah.
And the book seems to approach and back away from different kinds of violence. It refers to, in different parts, quoting from statistics and things like that, but it also comes back to that speaker and sort of implicating the speaker in places. And I think we heard some of it in Note 42 when the speaker is talking about interacting with these people who have had these personal experiences of violence and sort of interesting responses to that.
For sure there's... I think one of the things that comes up immediately in a book like this is that you don't want it to be a book about other people, right? You don't want to say, oh, there's all these bad people and I'll write about what they do, mm-hmm. right? And as soon as you start investigating violence, you become aware of your own violent tendencies or history. An awareness, an opening of awareness means an opening of self-reflection as well. So it was definitely really important to me to implicate myself as speaker and to sometimes speak in the voice of a perpetrator, even if for just a line, I'm attracted mm-hmm. to children, you know, that kind of thing.
That's one of the eerie things about the book to me is that sudden shifting into lines like that where, because there's mention of motherhood in the mm-hmm. book too. So you get to that line of I'm attracted to children and it's jarring how the violence kind of invades into the poem itself.
Yeah. It's a risky line to have as maybe the third line of the book. but I meant it in both ways. Both I am attracted to children. I have three children. If I was younger, I'd have a bunch more, you know. and there is this way that, you know, one is, you know, drawn to the child as this like source. And then, of course, there's the other scary thing that could mean.
So has the book changed how you think about violence?
A lot of people ask me that. I think that it simply allowed me to let more in. I think I'm less afraid, not because I'm numbed, but because I just sort of opened up the aperture a little bit. Instead of this, I think one of the things that can happen to people when they become parents is they just kind of start closing down, you know, in this sort of name of security, closing down. And I definitely didn't want to be that kind of parent. I don't think I am that kind of parent. And I was, as afraid of being afraid. I think I'm braver in a certain way in terms of what I will become aware of, what I will pay attention to. That's maybe all I can say about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, can you read us some more?
Sure. 35. Consider this. Consider this. What is violence? The narrowest hinge between lovers and lamps, trash cans and trains, music and muscle, between pillow and plan, weed and wretched. Get this, people. There's nothing wrong with a little defense. No reason to be ashamed of sticking up for yourself. Stems of leaves slip into the gutter, in and out and in and out. The light bulb drinks fire until sunrise. Short stem of morning. What wrong with him? Just walk away, but walk away quickly. Consider hot days in the project pool. Lucky because we had carpet and coke. A woman's breasts are an upside down heart. Not at all. We were not at all safe. He wanted to liquefy the self's solidity within the body of another, because where else? Wind. Consider it. It's coming from the west. It's carrying a factory smell. We did not know whether, after passing out in the alley, they recovered. Rum in the coke bottles of 12-year-old boys. What is penitent? What kind? Dazzling and tremendous. how quickly the sunrise would kill me if I could not now and always send sunrise out of me, this crewless ship stalled in the shoal. What a project. It's an echoey stairwell. What is well? What wet? The race riots of childhood, the projects of broken. Here's a wander site, dumped dogs and boyfriends with bruises and boils, pimples and penises, light bulbs drink in corners and causeways, smoking children, dirt bike riding children, copulating children, children with their pants down, children with their feet bruised, with their hair a mess, eating children, children in school but hiding, in school but running, in school but can't reach, cars with children and houses with children and dumpsters. Enough. Return. Honeysuckle and candy bag and the window drinks, drinks not impatient. The body is cut. The body is steering. Consider the man, fingering, slow driving alongside us. What's wrong with him? Dump dogs and boyfriends asking directions. Consider the disdain of 12-year-old girls, our huffy walk home. What is violence? Nodding out on a borrowed couch. What we didn't get then, we do get now. Memories tutor one another. We were not at all safe. Consider harm, not what animals do, the slow-trunked elephants, decorative zebras, meaty lizards, adjective noun, get the pain out of the hand and put it on the page. Tenderly, be not impatient, strong as your hold, O mortal flesh, strong as your hold, O love. Drink not impatient, the body cut. What hand of the man so wild in the kitchen? Not at all, we were not at all safe. Moments of, what is a zebra? What is a meerkat? What is a baby blinking and wrapped? Not at all safe. What is my son? 41. Lie down, little girl, little laugher, little clown, couchwise or in the sea. Festooned like wind by rain, like the inside of an orange. Lie down, little girl, little laugher, little joke, little avian riddle. 44. Cold and grand, fresh and red. Currently 9 women on death row. 369 men on death row in Texas. Creator, shall I bloom? The women on death row have murdered, in most cases, children. In most cases, their own. The men have murdered, in most cases, women.
So the Consider This poem has such a frenetic energy to it, and the rhythm really comes through. And we hear that repetition of not at all again. And then in one of the other poems that you just read, you heard the creator Shelley Bloom, which is a line that recurs through the book. And I'm really interested in your use of rhythm and your use of repetition, especially across poems and pulling back those lines.
Well, creator Shelley Bloom is Emily Dickinson's line. Dickinson and Whitman were kind of guides through writing the book. And I kept returning to certain moments in their work and pulling them in as a way to create some sense of consistency, but also because of the two kind of poles of American poetry that they represent, and their very different engagements with violence. Dickinson's with a kind of subjective, internal sense of violence, and Whitman, of course, with the political. Repetition and rhythm, two kind of different things. Repetition was a way for me to make the book feel like a whole, right? Because it just keeps moving and shifting and changing, and there's all these different forms and these different approaches. And so I did feel like there had to be something that kept kind of bringing it back or letting it keep circling around something. And so some of these lines became that, a kind of a mantra running through it. Rhythm, you know, with equivocal, I started writing with a much greater sense of rhythm guiding the poem. And part of that has to do with Victorian poetry and with a study of Gerard Manley Hopkins in particular. And also with the fact that having been a dancer, I think the one of the things about poetry that I felt like I needed to engage with is that sense of movement in the body. And so rhythm creates that. That poem in particular is very interested in a certain kind of repetition of meter. Yeah.
And the rhythm in the context of a sequence of poems about violence and that idea of bringing it back to the body for poems like that has, I think, a big impact because you're coming back to the body. It almost right. feels threatening.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So let's switch gears a little. Can you read us some more poems, but from Sarah, of Fragments and Lines?
Sure. I do have a little preamble, which is that I wrote Sarah, Fragments and Lines before I wrote 100 Notes on Violence. And I wrote it while I was pregnant, or I started writing it while I was pregnant with my third child. And while my mother was moving into really the final stages of Alzheimer's disease. And so what I often say about this is that the poems are really interested in that liminal space between presence and absence, or between sort of being here and not here. So this is Landlocked Lines. There were people behind closed doors, people on the other side. A specter haunting, now hidden, now fled. Under the firmament, above the firmament, and so on. Plastic cup, plastic tooth, nipple, phone, call me. I was filming a movie, but my brother took my camera and broke it. Then he fell on his face and laughed into the snow, zebra and xylophone, cyclone and sorrow. Before they lay down, the men of the city circled the park, circled the park, circled the park, the park, the park. Stood before the door holding the wrapped infant, and I was writing a poem in the alley. A woman came, hovered near, asked for my pen. I gave it up. Consumed in inequity, consumed. Give me a child or I will die, she said. Shrugs away our hands, our mother in the bath and the garden. The music is not great because, she said, because of the silence, she said. It can refer only to itself or to the objects that surround it, lamp, table. It would be absurd to imagine the absent person in the margins of the book. Red couch, red wall behind. The birds are inside the trees now, now the first one and the second one. Giraffe and guest, honor and hunt. Then she gave up her spirit, but couldn't get out. And this is Daylight Abstracts. Now flare, now come to this, now speaking of plastic, salt, snow, bright, maybe I cannot give up on you, can't taste now or rare or last. Snow's got its own flash of rightness, own door to say plow or slung or sky of gunmetal floating down. Set on rising, walking, can't love this ordinary diurnal run? Can't not. Always presenting, own doors, own chairs, roads, ads. Am I in the wrong place now? Snow's laced by exhaust. Don't own sex or house, just ringed by, walled in. Haul my rude ways to righteous night. I've ruined its effervescent waves. Now flight, now gift, now speaking of plastics, of rupture, of rise. Woke quartered by calendar, woke exhausted in face, spoken of and speaking into thing, cold and needling, needing too. Old darkness ruptured, old bent over, defeated. Now rectangles of fluorescent, of bold, blonde daylight on walls of old dreck now shine like gestalt or defense, like splayed hair. Now old odes or seeds of thought turned snug in gummy mugs. I'm alone here in a day, like an arrow or a lance in a gash. Day, don't say things, don't order, don't bend me, don't mold.
So I've heard you and read you talk in interviews about how you have these forms that you worked with for Sarah, of the lines and fragments and the abstracts and how those were sort of driven by different impulses to regarding narrative or regarding sound. Can you talk about that a little?
Yeah. A bunch of poems in here are just called lines of this or lines for that, lines for the wind, lines of refusal. And in those, I was interested in trying to think about that thing we talk about in poetry, which is the line and the line as its own unit of meaning. So I allowed for there to be a lot of gaps, a lot of, you know, space in terms of the narrative, flow of the poem, so that the lines themselves could sort of be removed and stand by themselves. So that was what was behind those. The fret.
What was it like composing that? How with arranging these things that also stood on their own?
I mean, I think it was a matter of kind of willful forgetting. You know, sort of writing a line and then creating a kind of a fissure in my mind, which is interesting because I was writing about my mother, who was, of course, forgetting. And maybe in a sense, they were inspired by her speech, which would be a line and then nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I could say a word about the fragments and the abstracts. The fragments are literally just fragments, and I wanted the sense of the unfinished or the broken. Mm-hmm. And the abstracts were about sound relationships and creating a kind of wash of sound across the page.
And you can feel that listening to them, too. Julie, thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, you're welcome. It was my pleasure.
The poetry of Julie Carr. You've been listening to Prosody, a weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a bi-weekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the Arts Entertainment News Weekly published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty and Ellen Wadey. Our sound engineers are Michelle Stoner and Lisa Alexander. Please tune in at our new time, Saturday mornings at 6:30, for Prosody 90.5 FM.